And I'm also a person who doesn't quickly say, well, I don't love it, but I'll just do it. And for better or for worse, that's me. That's my attachment style. That's my whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it a personality disorder, if you live in that diagnostic world, you can go ahead and do that. But this is who I am. Hey, this is Anne Vandenmeer with the Cross My Heart, Hope to Thrive podcast. And today, as promised, I have some big news. I'm going to share a quote here first from the incredible Brené Brown. And it is this. We are complex beings who wake up every day and fight against being labeled and diminished with stereotypes and characterizations that don't reflect our fullness. Yet when we don't risk standing on our own and speaking out, when the options laid before us force us into the very categories we resist, we perpetuate our own disconnection and loneliness. When we are willing to risk venturing into the wilderness and even becoming our own wilderness, we feel the deepest connection to our true self and what matters the most. So I'm going to venture into the wilderness again. For those of you who don't know me, I've had kind of a crazy life. I grew up in chaos and sort of learned that as a way of being, and it took me a long time to even realize it was chaos. And we were so hooked on the belief it was normal. So I've done a lot of different things in my life. I started out, I went through a lot of different majors, and if I'd been what I really wanted to be, at least, I don't know, I really loved art and I really loved writing, but I was pretty discouraged from doing either one of those. So I ended up majoring in political science and economics, had a minor in history, and then I went to law school, and I hated it. I stayed for 3 years, left, had a breakdown, and then, as I often said, I had no appreciable job skills whatsoever for the real world. I'd never done anything at that point except go to school, and I worked for a short period of time at Showbiz Pizza in the kitchen. So that was, and I'd worked for my dad, office-y kind of stuff, but not like in any, you know, just basic kind of answering phones and filing kind of things. I could tell you all about Chalmers Johnson's theory of revolutionary process. I could tell you all about, you know, the S&P index, whatever you needed to know. I knew a lot about Greek history into the Middle Ages. Not a lot of jobs. If, you know, and had I gotten a master's degree or something, I don't know, I could have taught or something, or could have, I still could have, but I was pretty schooled out by the time I finished law school. So I went out into the world and I started working. I worked at bookstore. I worked at some office jobs. I was not very good at those office jobs. Then I finally parlayed my way into a job with an arts council, a local arts council, and it was a nonprofit. And when you're in a nonprofit, the great thing is if you want to do stuff, people will be like, yeah, do it. You know, we don't have to pay somebody else to come in and do it or try to find a volunteer. So I wanted to do something with writing and creativity, and so marketing had always kind of pulled me in that direction a little bit, and I didn't really 100% know what that meant, but I knew I liked being creative, and I knew I liked to write. So I started doing the newsletter and learning desktop publishing, and I almost always leaned toward the creative side of marketing as opposed to the analytical side of marketing. That's never been really my jam. I understand it, but I don't enjoy that. And I really liked the job. I was still going through a lot in my life then. I'm pretty sure I was not a fantastic employee. I don't know that I was ever what you would call a fantastic employee, but I showed up every day and I did work really hard. I'd always work really hard. I was just kind of hard to be around, and demanded perfection of myself and those around me. So awesome. So they hired a new director. I really liked the former director, and they hired a new one, and she came in and she had all these big ideas. And I've learned in life that you'd think these people who've been out in the real world would have kind of seen this for what was coming, but they didn't. And she came in, she found out, she listened to all of us, learned what we did, and then she fired the whole staff and hired her own staff. And it wasn't too much later, the whole place closed down. So, yeah. So I was unemployed for a little bit, and it was summer, and I had a garden, and it was good because it gave me some time to kind of refocus. And I got a job placing trades for a investment firm, and I'd never done that before, and it was awful. And the guy who owned that place was just a something. I'll just say he was something. He was a former attorney, and he liked to, when you'd make a mistake, call everyone together so he could berate you in front of everybody and say that so they could learn from your mistake. It wasn't fun. So I'd applied for a marketing coordinator job with an architecture firm like 6 months before, and they called me out of the blue and said, "Hey, are you still interested in this job?" Honest to God, I could not remember what the job was, who these people were, but I said, "Yes, I would like to do anything, not this," because at least it could be lateral, and it was much more what I wanted to be doing. So that actually became kind of like my big corporate life. As close as I was going to get to a big corporate life anyway. And I ended up being the marketing director for an architecture and engineering firm. And I learned a lot there and did a lot of different things, really honed those skills. And it was the difficult part of that job was there were probably, I'd say, 6 partner level architects, 2 engineers, a landscape engineer, an interior design head, and then some other people. Then they all used me for marketing services for, you know, and I had a couple people worked under me, but still, it was really demanding. But I was, you know, I was in my 30s. I had friends there. We were all the same age. None of us were married. We partied. We had so much fun. We'd work late. We worked hard. It was just that kind of career time in my life. And it was overall, I think, more fondly of that. That was probably, dare I say, the most fun I'd had to that point, and it was a great time of my life, but the job was really exhausting. So toward the end of that, I decided I wanted to be a massage therapist because I liked the idea of that. I liked the idea of helping people be calm and having a calm environment, working on one person at a time, not 6 different people trying to massage everybody's quads, you know, once. And it just sounded really good. And I was getting married, and my husband was going to be a therapist, and I was going to be his massage therapist wife, and we were going to have this perfect life. And as I've mentioned in earlier episodes, that derailed. And I still did massage, but we split up, and I had a breakdown. And then I was, again, this is an old episode. I was misdiagnosed as having bipolar disorder. Was put on lithium eventually, which almost killed me, and no one recognized that's what was wrong with me. And I've been on this healing journey. Now, in and amongst these things, even when I was doing massage and married, I was still doing marketing for people. I just, on my own, I had a business at one point with someone, and then I would work with individual clients. And I worked a lot with a lot of single person business, solopreneurs, as they're called now. Individuals running their own business. Generally, they were women, and they're very small businesses. And I would help them with, you know, getting a website going, getting marketing going. And I like that. When I start talking about marketing, I'll say to people, I really like marketing. I do. I love that creative part. I'm an idea person. I love helping people formulate their purpose and their passion and sell it to people and get it out there, you know. And so then I was sort of running headlong into this problem that people didn't have a marketing problem. They had a them problem. They had something in their lives that was really holding them back, not anything to do with their product or their service. And so I felt like at that time I was just sort of running my head against a wall. So I thought, well, I'm going to do something new. I want to, you know, and I went through this beautiful healing journey through trauma. And I'm like, I want to help people do that. I want to help people have the same experience I did. I want to be that person who is beyond talk therapy, who is beyond the cognitive behavioral trying to talk your way out of trauma, helping people understand and go on healing journeys. And I still very much, that is my raison d'etre and my purpose in life. So I had, with my massage background, I was going to go into, you know, doing some kind of healing body work. And then there was a pandemic. And I've told the story, too, on these podcasts before, that on Friday the 13th of March, I got my license reinstated for a massage for body work. And on March 13, 2020, and on March 15, the whole world shut down. So that was what drove me to go to this tab on my browser for trauma recovery coaching. And that's what I did through the pandemic, was that and mindful self-compassion, some training in that. And so at the beginning of 2021, I finished my initial training in trauma recovery, finished my fierce mindful self-compassion training, or course, it wasn't really training. And then I started into the advanced program for that. And I also started to actually do trauma recovery coaching. And I like it, certainly. I mean, I came this far, but honestly, when I went into this, I wanted to do groups. I wanted to do groups, and I knew that there was part of me who kind of preferred the inspirational side of things as opposed to the careful, slow work that's trauma recovery, coaching, and healing. And so it's been something that I had to, that's why I read that quote, because it's like, Sometimes it's hard to be this kind of person who I have to experience things before I know how I feel about them. And then I also, and it certainly, I can add this into a trauma diagnosis, I can add this into an attachment issue, I can call it any of these things, but what it comes down to is I have to experience things and then I'll know how I feel about it. And I'm also a person who doesn't quickly say, well, I don't love it, but I'll just do it. And for better or for worse, that's me. That's my attachment style. That's my whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it a personality disorder, if you live in that diagnostic world, you can go ahead and do that. But this is who I am. And so I have learned through all of this that sometimes it's better to work with who you are as opposed to trying to be that the category we resist, like Brené said in that quote, when I want to reread this. Yet when we don't risk standing out on our own and speaking out, when the options laid before us force us into the very categories we resist, we perpetuate our own disconnection and loneliness. So I guess this is all my way of saying I'm kind of shifting focus here. First off, I want to say the Cross My Heart, Hope to Thrive podcast is going to go on because I 1,000,000% believe in this opportunity for trauma survivors to talk about their healing journeys, because it normalizes the healing journey from trauma, it normalizes trauma recovery, it normalizes trauma. And so definitely I want to continue this. I may switch it to an every other week format because with this new shift in what I'm going to do, I'm going to start another podcast. So I'm going to have a second whole podcast on this new topic. And I don't know how much I want to talk right now about this because it is still so in development. And I already feel like I'm that person who's always saying, well, yeah, I was going to do that. But what I want to do is take all of this, not just the marketing part, not just the trauma part, not the law part, all these experiences I've had, not the trauma. I want to take them all and use alchemy to make them into a very unique kind of process that I think will help a lot of people. And I think it will help people in the wonderful emotional way of trauma recovery, but it will also help people in very practical ways to understanding how trauma may have been holding them back, to have a process to go through, to help them understand how trauma may have held them back, help them to manage that trauma, and then authentically figure out who they are. Because that's what I saw when I tried to work with marketing clients. It wasn't about the marketing. It wasn't about they didn't know what they wanted to do. Or maybe it was some of that. I don't know. It was a lot of stuff, but it really didn't help them to just set up a website they could easily use, because another problem would come up and another, I just see roadblocks. And it would get frustrating for me, and they would get frustrated with me because it's like, well, I don't want to do that. That doesn't make me feel comfortable. And at that time, I didn't feel like I could sit there and say, well, and I hadn't had the training, so I could sit there and say, hey, you know, have you ever thought about the fact that where do you feel that in your body when you say no to that? Do you have an experience in your past that this takes you to? I was not in a place to say that. I would just feel like, geez, yeah, you know, it's not that hard. Just do it, you know, because marketing wasn't hard for me. And that's something I'll talk about why actually some things that happen to you can make you good at certain things. And that's part of trauma. It makes us into who we are. And sometimes we can work with that. And so there are parts of it that maybe will benefit you and you can gain from that. I'm planning to launch all of this. I'm going to start talking about it in early August, which is soon. And then the actual opportunities to take part in this will begin in October of 2021, and there'll be more. That'll be the initial one. It's a small group work. It lasts about 6 months, I'll say that much. And I think it can be game-changing. I really do. As I've created this, I have been so inspired and so excited. And I know that everybody who's trying to sell you something says something like that. And I'm not really trying to exactly sell anybody anything with this. What I'm really trying to do is to help people get out of their own way. And the best way that I can, through my experience and through helping them look in a mirror and understand where they're at, where they want to be, where they've been, and get the past out of their way so they can move forward. And so it's very exciting. It's a shift. I'm shifting away from individual trauma recovery coaching, and I will do individual marketing coaching and trauma-informed marketing coaching. That will still happen. And if you want more information, go ahead and send me an email if you want to get in on this early, get in on the ground floor and want some information about what it's going to be. It's a very affordable path, I believe, especially for what you get. I think this is going to be, you know, super affordable because investing a lot of money, not understanding internal barriers to your success and spending lots of money on how to market and do things like that, I just see them as... that's not what I want. I don't want to give you a one-size-fits-all program that, you know, plug into this, plug your project into this and do this. I want it to be something where you can really understand what you're doing. So for this week, that's going to be it. A nice short podcast here. Next week, I have Dr. Judith Belton, and she and I we're talking about grief. Some of it's about grief. Some of it's about being women. Some of it's about racial harmony. we go all over the place, but I do believe it's a pretty fantastic interview. And she's a pretty fantastic person, and I'm sure she'll be back more on the Cross My Heart, Hope to Thrive podcast. And if you are interested in sharing your story, as always, if you want information, in the show notes, you can get information on my new marketing program. You can also get information on sharing your story, because I would love to hear your story and talk to you about it. And then, like I said, so it'll be next week. We'll have another episode next week, and then I'm probably going to switch to that every other week format after that, launching the new program. I'm so excited. And just get in touch about either one if you're wanting to know more, because it's going to be super exciting. I have just been at 11 for the last couple of weeks during this heavy development part. I haven't been posting as much on social media, and I haven't been sharing as much as I know I should be, not taking my own advice here. But I also know that that's part of it. We have to go inside sometimes and figure things out and follow our path and give ourselves permission to do that, because that's what this is about. It's about being true to yourself and providing safety and connection for yourself and safety and connection for your clients or customers too. That's what this new program is about. It's telling your story about trauma. It's about being brave and all that. But I don't know, maybe I'll mention each of the podcasts. See, these are things to think about. Am I going to talk about these two worlds? I don't know. It's very exciting. And I hope that this is kind of a little lesson in that there's nothing wrong with pivoting. There's nothing wrong with saying, I didn't like doing that. I didn't love it. I thought I was gonna. I tried it. I didn't like it. To be honest, I could be here in 6 months saying, I didn't like that thing I did with marketing. I don't think I'm gonna. I'm in a very different place now, too. And this feels like, to me, the very apex of authenticity for me personally. So this is bringing together everything I have to offer and everything. Like I said, when I talk to people, it's like, it's sort of like this dirty, not dirty, but dirty little secret or admission or whatever that I really like marketing. I really enjoy it. I find it exciting and fun. I love the creativity of it. So taking my energy from that with my incredible training in trauma recovery, I just feel like I finally have found that spot. But I'm not going to promise, because that's not what life is about. And that's not the kind of person who's going to probably want to, you know, jump into my course. If you want to be the kind of person who gets a job at a desk and sits there for 50 years, I mean, and that's great, because clearly we need people who like to sit at a desk for 50 years. We need people to do that part. But this is definitely geared toward people who understand that authenticity and the ability to say, this is what I want to do now, is perfectly fine. I give you permission. So thank you so much for joining me. I didn't really talk about any real scary emotional issues today, and I didn't swear, so I don't think I swore anyway. But I will, as always, tell you that, as a reminder, I do enjoy spicy language and sentence enhancers from time to time, so if adult language offends you, you have been warned. Can't remember if I swore in this episode, but we'll see. During this episode, I usually do discuss serious mental health issues, including trauma and disordered eating and abuse, along with other potentially triggering subjects. If you're not feeling safe, perhaps you should listen at another time or reach out for help. If you are having issues right now, please seek help. There are resources in the show notes, my website, and I will give more information right now. Please remember that this podcast, under normal circumstances, is not a substitute for mental health care, and that the healing journey is a journey best traveled with the support of professionals. Next week, I'll be welcoming Dr. Judith Belton, and we're going to talk about a whole lot of cool stuff, because she is just an incredibly cool woman. And if you are in crisis right now, please seek help. Please dial 911 for help or go to the emergency room. If you're looking for support, there are many websites online. In the United States, consider calling Lifeline, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, at 800-273-8255, or NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Their hotline is 800-950-NAMI, N-A-M-I, which is 6264. If you've experienced sexual assault or abuse, you can reach out to RAIN at RAIN.org, where they have a live chat, or you may call 800-656-HOPE, H-O-P-E, that's 4637. Please don't wait to call if you need help. That's what they're there for. And remember, heal people, and when you heal yourself, you heal the world. Have a beautiful week.